Offside by Kathy Beveridge. Chapter 1. I ran my finger and thumb across the last Ziploc bag, shoved it into my ski sock, and nudged my bureau drawer closed. Finished for another week and nobody suspected a thing. Sweeping my hand through the thin stream of light on the desktop, I checked my fingers for telltale powder streaks and clicked off the lamp. Then I burrowed back into bed, glanced at my alarm clock, and groaned. 10:45 and a 6:30 practice tomorrow morning. Downstairs, the volume of the TV suddenly increased as a commercial interrupted the news. Stuffed up and sneezy? The solution's easy. I winced at the catchy slogan of Lisa's favorite cold remedy and mimicked the commercial. Stuffed up and sneezy? The solution's easy. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, just mix up sinus minus and throw away your shyness for a healthy sinus minus the cold. I pulled my pillow down squarely over my head. That was how it had all started. Some muscle-bound musician, who had probably never been stuffed up in his life, had hooked my stepmom, Lise, on sinus minus. From that day on, lime-green boxes in the shape of enormous noses had begun appearing in the medicine cabinets. Inside each enormous nose were 10 shiny foil packets adorned with the sinus minus schnoz. One small sniffle was enough to elicit some serious advice to mix it with something warm for the throat. It was definitely one of Lisa's latest crazes, but at least she hadn't decided to market the stuff. That was my department. In just 6 weeks, I'd managed to get my entire hockey team hooked on sinus minus. I hadn't intended to. In fact, the notion had never even entered my head before that night in October. The guys had decided to get together at Pete's for a little party while his folks were out of town. Nothing crazy, but a few of the girls had agreed to come along, and I heard Valerie might be there. Lisa had already agreed to drop me off at Ryan's so we could walk over to Pete's, but when I came downstairs, I found her in the kitchen, running her fingers through her hair. It was red today with a slight purple tinge, which matched her violet shirt, which didn't match her yellow vest. She was standing knee-deep in shoeboxes. Every month, it was a new hair color and a new commodity to market. Retail therapy, she called it. "What's all this?" I queried. "Rob a shoe store today?" Lisa spread her arms wide. "This," she remarked, "is the solution to tired toes." Lise extracted a tan and navy pump from one box and a red lace-up from another. "Does this solution have a name?" Lise smiled proudly. "This is Calgary's first collection of Revivets." She launched into her sales pitch. Every woman who ever marched between towering offices or wandered aimlessly through a shopping mall must have a pair of these. She held the two clashing shoes out towards me. "Nah, too tame," I teased. "I think you should go back to selling ironing board covers." Lise smirked at me. The ironing board covers, depicting nude male models, had been one of Lise's few successes until the women had used them and various parts of the male anatomy had transferred to their husbands' shirts. Lise replaced the shoes in their respective boxes. "You laugh, Joel, but this is different." She turned the shoe to display a small latch on the heel. The heel opened to reveal a battery. "This is the first ever battery-operated shoe to massage tired feet." She pressed a button on the sole of the shoe, and the entire shoe began to shake. "Vibrating shoes!" Lise turned the entire shoe off. "This, Joel Switzen, is a marketable product. You men may not appreciate it, but all the poor working women who also run a home and who are on their feet all day long will." She looked down at her feet, including me. Then she paused and smiled weakly. "How would you like to take these downstairs for me? Just store them over by the 400 boxes of Fiber Fran, the 37 cases of hair blush, and the 25 bags of lipstick." Lise pouted. "Joel, you know those others weren't the same. Besides, these Revivets are..." "Save it for the customers," I said, wrapping my arms around a stack of boxes. I clomped down the stairs, marveling at Lise and her schemes. "Revivets," I muttered, stacking the boxes in the crawl space. Well, at least this was better than finding dozens of styrofoam diapers drying on the deck every day. I traipsed back for the second load, and everything was better than Fiber Fran, the invisible fiber supplement. Lise had added it to everything, including our ice cream, until Dad had finally forbidden her to touch the stuff. I'd never heard Dad's story, but I guessed I wasn't the only one to visit the men's room 24 times in one day. By the time I'd stacked all 20 boxes, I found myself asking the question I always asked. What did Dad see in Lise anyway? Whatever it was as invisible as Fiber Fran. Lise was already waiting for me in the car. Is brush a four-letter word? She asked, surveying my unruly mop of hair. I flattened the haphazard black waves against my head. At least mine doesn't change color every month. Lise ignored me and made the usual inquiries about the party. I found myself wishing I was 16 and old enough to drive. Another year seemed like an eternity. Just as she got to the part about the girls, I started to sneeze. Lise looked suspiciously at me. When did this start? Must be allergic to those Revivites, I sniffed. We pulled into the Davis's driveway, and Lise dug into her purse. Here, she said, crinkling something into my hand. Take them with something warm. What are they? I asked, squinting in the dark. Sinus minus. Should have guessed. I slid out of the car. We'll walk home, I said, stuffing the foil packets into my pocket and hustling up the driveway. Ryan threw the door open as soon as I knocked. Where have you been? I thought you weren't coming. I stared at my best friend. Sorry, I said in exaggerated sorrow. I had to move 2 dozen boxes of vibrating shoes downstairs for Lee's before I could go. Not again. He shoved his feet into his open high tops and grabbed his team jacket off the chair. Bye, Dad. Bye, boys. Don't be too late tonight, Ryan. That English has to be done tomorrow before the hockey game, so you can't sleep till noon. Yeah, muttered Ryan under his breath, closing the door behind him and striding down the street. I fell into step beside him, the white falcons on Ryan's jacket glinting in the streetlights. What English have you got? I asked, wondering if I had forgotten some important assignment. You know, that nature story we had to do. Jeez, Ryan, that was due 2 weeks ago. I know, but McConnell sent it back for a rewrite. That was a tough break. McConnell didn't do that sort of stuff unless it was really bad. School didn't come easily for Ryan, not like sports did. That shouldn't take very long, I added, trying to sound encouraging. Ryan kicked at a stone in front of him. I studied him out of the corner of my eye. There was something ruffling the Davis composure tonight, and I had a feeling it was more than the English. I tried to lighten things up. You really ought to come and see Lisa's newest craze, battery-operated shoes that massage the feet. Ryan's lips curled upward slightly, but there were none of his usual witty comments. Mum's going back in tomorrow. Aw, jeez, Ryan. Not again. Ryan's mom was a manic depressive, and in the last year she'd been in and out of the hospital quite a few times. How long will she be gone? I asked softly. Ryan's shoulders shrugged beneath his jacket. Who knows? I guess till she gets better. If she gets better. We walked on in silence and turned onto Pete Street. Still feel like going? I asked. We could just go for pizza or something instead. Ryan thought for a minute. Nah, I'm all right. I followed Ryan up the driveway, thinking that the party would be good for him. He could have a few games of pool, joke around with the guys, and relax a bit. It couldn't be much fun at his house these days. Ryan rang the doorbell as the car pulled into the driveway. I peered around the corner, trying to see who had driven up. Well, are you going to come in or not? Valerie stood behind the open door, twisting the deadbolt back and forth. Her hair hung loosely to her waist. I stepped onto the mat, caught my trailing foot, and landed face first in the pile of shoes. Valerie erupted into laughter. By the time I had disentangled myself, the doorbell had rung again, and Valerie, who was obviously on door duty, was staring into the eyes of Rick Steiner. What are you doing here? She asked. You don't play for the Falcons anymore. Steiner sailed through the door. Well, hello, Valerie, he said, picking up a strand of her hair and laying it gently across her bare neck. Aren't you looking sexier than ever? Valerie tossed her hair back just as Pete, Ryan, and Adrian came around the corner looking for me. Hey, Switzen, they called. How about a game? Their voices trailed off at the sight of Steiner, his buddy, and a couple of girls I'd never seen before. Steiner, Adrian began uncertainly. Hey, guys, good to see you again. It's been a while. That's what happens when you do time, muttered Valerie, pushing past Pete and reminding us all of Steiner's past. When did you get out? Asked Pete in an unusual show of bravery. A while back. Steiner handed a paper bag to Pete. I brought you a little something. Pete took the bag, and we could hear the clinking of bottles. What else did you bring? Snapped a voice in the back. Steiner stared at the faces of the guys he had played hockey with for the past few years and held up his arms in an innocent gesture. Just thought I'd check in with a few old friends, but hey, if you're not cool with that, Pete, just say the word. Pete stood awkwardly holding the bottles while all eyes turned on him. "Aw, come on in," he finally said. Then he held up the paper bag. "Why doesn't everyone have a drink?" Pete turned and swept the crowd ahead of him into the kitchen. I watched Ryan step back into the games room as Steiner passed, then moved quickly over beside him. "You want to go?" I whispered. Ryan stood watching the guys move into the kitchen. "No," he said finally. "I'll be all right." He brushed past me and joined the crowd. A bad feeling took hold of my stomach, and I wondered about clearing out right then and there. But how could I desert my best buddy now? Just as I was about to join the kitchen party, Adrian appeared in the hallway, his jacket slung across his shoulder. "I'm out of here," he said quietly. "I don't need any more trouble." He punched his hands through his jacket sleeves, and if I were you, I'd get Ryan out of here as well. "He won't go. He says he can handle it." Adrian opened the front door. "Yeah, well, that's what he said last time, too. That's what we both said last time." Then the door thudded shut behind him. "He does have a point." I turned at the sound of Valerie's voice. "I know," I admitted, "but what am I supposed to do, drag him out of here? Besides, Steiner may even be clean." "Yeah, right," she said before heading in the direction of the games room. Annoyed, I set off to find Ryan. Valerie did have a point, but Ryan had been through a lot since April. Drugs weren't something the team did, especially not if you played for Coach Knowles. He'd spelled that out nice and clear at the start of the season, and possession of any kind of a banned substance, as he called them, meant an immediate dismissal from the team. Steiner had had a reputation for doing drugs, but nobody, including me, had known that he'd introduced Ryan and Adrian to E, those little pills that guaranteed temporary happiness. I'd found out all about it after the fact. It happened after Ryan's mom's first suicide attempt. Ryan's game had gone downhill with all the stuff going on at home, and Coach Knowles had been threatening to drop him to second string. That's when Steiner had moved onto the scene. One afternoon before a playoff game, the cops had moved in on them. Luckily, only Steiner had been buying, but Ryan and Adrian had been hauled off to the station anyway. The dealer got trafficking, Steiner was charged with possession, and Ryan and Adrian were released to their parents' custody. Steiner had done time in a juvenile treatment center. According to Adrian, he and Ryan had only ever taken a few hits, but that hadn't stopped Ryan's dad from grounding him until the summer and then sending him to a sports camp for 6 weeks just to keep him busy. Ryan had never talked about it, but I was pretty sure that he'd changed his mind about using drugs. I found Ryan twirling a pool cue in the games room. He was wearing that crazy grin he always had when he'd scored a few goals or had a drink. I watched him from the doorway. He'd be all right, I told myself. He wasn't gonna get messed up with Steiner and jeopardize his hockey career again. Ryan broke, putting 3 balls in the pocket. Steiner let out a cheer and held up his glass. Ryan joined him in a drink while I fretted. Ryan hardly ever drank, especially the night before a game. The party was in full swing when I noticed that Ryan had disappeared, and so had Steiner. I made an immediate exit. Steiner was downstairs in the rec room, but Ryan was nowhere to be seen. I ran into him at the top of the stairs. "You don't want to go down there," I told him, grabbing his arm. He pulled free of my hold, and I lost his balance. "Why not? Why don't you join us?" "Come on, Ryan," I urged. "You don't need this." He leaned forward, and I could smell the whiskey on his breath. "Yeah, maybe I do." I blocked his way. "But you're crazy to get mixed up with Steiner. He's got a record now." He tried to step around me. I stepped back in front of him, my mind racing as the music pulsed overhead. I tried to buy some time until I could think of what to do. "Besides, I've heard that his stuff is junk anyway." Ryan turned back to face me. "Impurities," I said quickly, trying to sound convincing. Ryan looked suspiciously at me. "When did you get to know so much?" "Angie told me," I said, grasping at straws. "Angie, as in your sister?" I nodded. At least he was still standing on the steps. "Everyone does that at university," I lied. "Even Angie." Ryan came back up the steps until he was standing beside me. "Angie does drugs at university?" he asked incredulously. She was hardly the druggy type. I nodded again. "Everyone does." Ryan started back down. "Well, Switzen, it'll never make it to university, so I won't have to worry about that." I shoved my hands in my pockets and tried desperately to think of something else to say. My fingers wrapped around the sinus minus packets. "She even gave me some stuff to try the last time she was home," I blurted out. Ryan froze in his tracks and looked back at me over his shoulder. I lowered my voice. I brought it along. What do you say we try it out? He studied me thoughtfully for a minute. All right, he said. I sent Ryan off to find our coats and grabbed a few bottles of Coke from the kitchen. We walked out on the back deck. I looked nervously around and then dumped the contents of one package in each bottle, while Ryan went to shut the back door. I swirled the Coke around and handed it to him. He looked confused. What is it? Don't know, I told him. Angie didn't say. She just told me it was good stuff. I've never seen anything like it. I swallowed hard. It's a sports drug, I added quickly. Some guys drink it with Gatorade. Performance enhancing? The word was a thundering whisper in the night air. Sure, I said, raising my bottle and picturing the Sinus Minus packet in the medicine cabinet. It's supposed to last 24 hours. Well, here's to Angie. Ryan clinked his bottle against mine and took a sip. I did the same, uncomfortably aware of the faint lemon taste on the rim of the bottle. It's supposed to keep your head clear, keep you focused. I laughed nervously. Ryan took another sip and wrinkled his nose. Guaranteed to make your aches and pains disappear, I babbled. Ryan grinned at me, not to mention your sinus congestion, headaches, and runny nose, he laughed. And combined with alcohol, you get a real good buzz, I added, recalling the warning on the lime green box. I almost giggled as Ryan raised his bottle again. He'd bought my story, and I'd kept him out of the basement. Ryan surveyed the dark contents of his bottle. When's this stuff hit you? 10 minutes, I said, mentally reading the writing on the side of the giant nose. Just wait. I thought you'd never used it before. I sobered my voice. I haven't, but Angie says. What's Angie doing using performance-enhancing drug anyways? I bit my tongue. My 45-kilogram sister was hardly an athlete. She has to climb lots of steps to get to the dormitory, I said, chuckling. Ryan's crazy grin had returned. She must be on the second floor, he added sarcastically, at the end of the hall, a long way from the bathrooms. I snorted loudly, and Ryan doubled over with laughter. He tried to talk, and you ought to see how tough it is to turn on the showers. Gotta do drugs just to stay clean. I leaned over the railing, laughing. Pretty soon she'll be leaping from dorm to dorm in a single bound. I bounded over the railing onto the grass. Playing Tarzan? Asked Neil's voice behind me. I looked towards the back door at the shadowy figures of Neil and Justin, two of the guys on the team. How long had they been standing there, and how much had they heard? Me, Tarzan, him, Jane, I exclaimed, pointing to Ryan. What are you guys doing out here anyways? I looked expectantly at Ryan. Cartwheels, I exclaimed, setting my bottle down and turning a mediocre cartwheel. That was pitiful, Switzen, said Ryan. I got to my feet and smirked at him. And I suppose you intend to show us how it's done, eh? Ryan shrugged. And certainly not just a mere cartwheel, I announced to Justin and Neil, but an aerial cartwheel, perhaps? Justin snickered. And surely you can do it with your Coke in your hand, I added. Ryan stared at me, a slow smile crossing his face. I'd like to see that, said Neil, which is why I am about to execute an aerial cartwheel without spilling my drink. Ryan's voice swirled around my ears. Neil let out a murmur and disappeared inside. Justin eyed Ryan skeptically as Ryan removed his jacket in a dramatic gesture. He threw it into my arms and ignored my incredulous look. A group of curious onlookers, roused by Neil, had gathered on the back porch. I looked from the group to Ryan, who was standing on the lawn, concentrating, his Coke in hand. He turned slowly to face me. Well, aren't you going to give the act an intro? I licked my lips nervously. Are you really going... Intro, please, he repeated. I threw him one last glance and turned to face the throng on the porch. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you Riveting Ryan. I paused while Ryan bowed and the crowd clapped, their applause rippling with laughter. For your entertainment, Riveting Ryan will now execute a daring aerial cartwheel without spilling a drop. The crowd awed on cue as Ryan held up the bottle. Silence, please, I commanded, and a hush fell over the throng. Ryan held his drink in front of him and stretched up on his toes. I gulped as he ran a few steps, then threw himself upside down in a perfect aerial, landing solidly on his feet, drink intact. The crowd exploded into applause, but I was too shocked to clap. Encore, encore, they chorused. Ryan sipped his Coke and looked expectantly in my direction. I threw him an admiring look. When had he become such a good gymnast? I returned to my role. And now, ladies and gentlemen, while Riveting Rye prepares for his next trick, I paused, fixing my eyes on Ryan. A round-off followed by a back handspring. I will entertain you with a show of incredible coordination. Ryan laughed and finished his Coke. I carried on. Without using my hands, I will balance on one leg and drink my Coke. The crowd heckled me, but first I need an assistant. I grabbed Valerie's hand and pulled her down the steps. Would you please hold the bottle? She smiled broadly and I felt my heart soar. Dramatically, I balanced on one leg, leaned forward to grasp the top of the bottle between my teeth and tipped it back, swallowing furiously. The Coke fizzed up into my nose. I sputtered helplessly and the crowd showed its appreciation. I took Valerie's hand and bowed all around. Then I turned back to Ryan. He rolled his eyes at me. Riveting Rye, are you ready to execute your round-off back handspring? Ryan nodded slowly and set his empty bottle down on the grass. I stepped back beside Valerie to make room. He raised himself up on his toes, ran a few steps into a round-off, and then effortlessly sailed into a back handspring. Wow! This time I clapped too. Valerie regarded me curiously. I didn't know he could do those, I explained quickly. She smiled at me, and I didn't know you were so funny. I blushed and stepped back into my ringmaster role. And so it continued, with me and Valerie doing dinky tricks while Ryan pulled off move after move. When the show was over, Ryan plunked down on the steps beside me, and the crowd went inside to warm up. Where do you learn to fly? I asked, already knowing the answer. When did you turn into such a ham? He retorted. I shrugged. Must be the stuff, I said, fingering the foil packets in my pocket. Boy, I can hardly wait to see us on the ice tomorrow. Yeah, Ryan said softly, but right now I'm wiped. Me too, I yawned, recalling the warning on the side of Sinus Minus package. Caution, may cause drowsiness.